If you're talking about it,
they're not doing anything.
There should be a law against that.
We're talking about it.
While unemployment has dropped, so have wages.
It's Talk Southern Style on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rick Thomason. An alleged ISIS-inspired terror plot foiled. In New York, a 35-year-old Albany woman is under arrest, accused of plotting an attack on the state capitol, looking to kill lawmakers and destroy the legislative seats of state government.
The allegations in this complaint are deeply disturbing. That someone would harbor such hatred toward our way of life and seek to target the New York State Capitol and New York State Senators.
John Sarcone with the U.S. Attorney's Office for New York's Northern District.
That's an attack on democracy itself, and one we will not tolerate.
All these years later, communist China still cannot tolerate any mention of the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre. Two former organizers of Hong Kong's decades-old vigil held in memory of those who were killed have been convicted in a national security case.
Prosecutors said the defendants intend to overthrow the communist regime by having an one-party state in the Hong Kong Alliance. The trio oversaw the only permitted major commemoration on Chinese soil of the Tiananmen Square crackdown. Local government officials cancelled it in 2020, ostensibly as an anti-COVID measure. The Chinese authorities called that group a toxic tumor.
The BBC's Martin Yip in Hong Kong. A charter aircraft carrying eight people has crashed at a remote radar site in western Alaska, killing all on board. The plane took off from Anchorage. It crashed about 450 miles west of there. The NTSB is in charge of the investigation. Heavy rains and fierce winds have pummeled parts of the Northeast. Storms battered Long Island as well as parts of New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. Stocks are higher on Wall Street this hour. The Dow is up 343 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
With the high price of new and used cars today, many drivers are choosing to keep their vehicles a lot longer. But with the average car now over 12 years old, most manufacturers' warranties have expired. I'm Danica Patrick. If your car is out of warranty, a single trip to the mechanic could cost you thousands. That's why smart drivers choose Endurance. If your vehicle is less than 20 years old, no matter the mileage, Endurance could have your car covered for the drivetrain, electrical, AC, transmission, and more. And Endurance is with you every step of the way, from filing a claim to paying the mechanic of your choice directly. And your rate won't go up no matter how many claims you file. Call Endurance now and choose the plan that fits your budget. Act now and get 1 year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
For your fast free quote, call 800-303-4223. 800-303-4223. 800-303-4223.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
A growing number of states are providing tax dollars to university athletics.
The need to shell out millions to draw the top athletes is straining the finances of many prosperous universities. In fact, many otherwise prosperous universities now find themselves running deficits. North Carolina and Louisiana are responding by earmarking sports betting taxes for their universities. Wisconsin has added money to its state budget for athletic costs at its flagship university. And Connecticut has created a tax credit program aimed at benefiting universities. The athletics. Bob Agner reporting.
President Trump has voiced strong support for AI and data centers, emphasizing their economic benefits and importance in the global AI race. Candidates in competitive midterm elections, though, they're far less accepting. Data centers have become a contentious issue, with concern about energy costs and environmental impact. In one case, in Ohio, Republican John Husted faces attacks over his support for data centers. News and analysis, townhall.com. President Trump travels to South Carolina today in support of Senator Darlene Graham, his choice to replace her late brother, Senator Lindsey Graham. The Myrtle Beach rally comes just days before the Republican runoff. Mr. Trump's 2016 South Carolina primary victory helped him win the GOP nomination and ultimately the White House. They came from across the globe.
It's not all about short-legged speed when 150 corgis gather for an international race celebrating the little dogs. There's a costume parade, the smartest nose, and, of course, the loudest bark. The fifth corgi race Vilnius drew dogs and their owners to the Lithuanian capital's Vingis Park on Saturday for what organizers said was the biggest edition yet. There were competitors from Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, Estonia, Germany, Ukraine, the Czech Republic, the United States, and Britain. Keith Peters reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm and highs in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Get your day started with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
FBI and Department of Justice.
Retail stores across Alabama had a record.
Featuring Dr. Bill's forecast.
We've got some nice dry weather for Friday, Saturday.
Traffic with Kane.
Still looking good on the roadways. Tell me
the latest in sports.
Mobile Morning Sports Report.
And three big things you need to know.
Get your morning started right now with three big things you need to know.
It's the newest and hottest morning show on the Gulf Coast. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig at 6 on FM Talk 106.5.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Happy Friday morning. Friday. It's finally a Friday. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line. Jam-packed show today, as we talked about yesterday. Todd Stacey here in about 30 minutes from Alabama Daily News and Public Television's Capital Journal. Also on the program, Philip Insler. He's a Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor. He'll be joining us. He's been on a couple of times before in his capacity as a state lawmaker. We'll hear from him. At the top of the 11 o'clock hour, State Senator Chris Elliott will make time for us, a returning champion. We'll talk to him. What's the name of the bridge that has yet to be built? The Jimmy Buffett Bridge? We'll get into that. And then at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour, our senior United States Senator and Republican nominee for governor, Tommy Tuberville, will make time for us. That's in the 11 o'clock hour as well. So pretty full show today. Hopefully you can stick around for that. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. We'll kick it off here. Just a lot of, it continues to be a lot of flock camera discussion. Privacy. So, Arthur Orr, and I remember the bill, and it was sort of out of nowhere. Arthur Orr of Decatur, he's state senator up there in Morgan County. In 2021, and this was in the throes of COVID, had a bill that would have, it would have placed restrictions on flock cameras, but it also, as far as I can tell, would have enabled would have enabled law enforcement to some degree to use these cameras that track license plate, but it would have forced them to delete the data by statute. So he was a little ahead of the curve here. And we kind of looking at the bill last night, and it passed the state Senate unanimously. So this wasn't this last quadrennium. It was the very last session of the quadrennium before that. And what happened, once it got out of the Senate, it just went to go die in the House. I think it got out of committee in the House. They tacked on an amendment, which is a poison pill, essentially. because these guys in the Alabama legislature, unless it's something like economic incentives or something they just really want to do, it's not a very efficient body. A lot of times things they do, they're taking kicking and screaming. This is something kind of interesting, and I was thinking about this. We'll get into this here. So we do a lot of things with, like, these culture issues in the Alabama legislature. We'll pass an abortion ban, or we'll pass a no transgender females and women's sports bill, or you get the idea. Things that are not just 80-20 issues, maybe 90-10 issues. And then they'll take them and they'll say, hey, look at us. Look at what we did. We are the most conservative body in the country, is what our most conservative legislative body in the country, to paraphrase House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter at the end of every session. And it turns out sometimes these bills, yes, they are, they stand for the right things. But they don't have teeth. They don't have enforcement mechanisms. It just takes a crafty lawyer to kind of figure out a way around them sometimes. And then when you present the question, like, well, what's going on here? It becomes, well, I guess we need to revisit it in the future. So one of these types of bills got a lot of publicity, a lot of press, was in the divisive concepts bill. Well, DEI and the threat of this sort of ESG economic framework, when they were trying to, through statute or through corporate governance, impose a social engineering grand design. People are very much against it. And this is sort of a throwback to affirmative action. And people in the state didn't really want that. So we're going to stop teaching these like gender studies, and we're going to stop having like sort of safe spaces for certain ethnic groups or whatever it may be, and especially in public institutions. This was where it really mattered. They started eliminating a lot of the diversity, equity, and inclusion in government. And it was supposed to be twofold. It was supposed to be, okay, we're not only going to go after it in the education sector, but also in like human resources at the agencies. We're not going to do it this way anymore. And people are like, yeah, that's great. So lo and behold, it just took a while to get enacted and start really figuring out, well, this doesn't meet the standard of the law, or this does. Or no, you can't tell this. The two real problem areas for what the legislature did were Auburn and Alabama, because these are the flagship universities. They're in the Alabama Constitution. They have a constitutional mandate. So do they fall under the purview, the governance of the Alabama legislature? And it was always, yeah, that could be a problem, but they rely on us for funding. And if they decide to sidestep the law or the intent of the law, we'll just cut off their funding. So Auburn, I guess, there's still some vestiges of this diversity, equity, and inclusion. And there's probably still some in the University of Alabama system. And there's not a real enforcement so they go kicking and screaming. But here's where they run into problems, and this is probably true at all of the four-year colleges, or maybe even lower, you know, like K through 12, that there's a fear here that if we start like cleaning this mess up, that you're going to upset the people who work here. The faculty lounge is going to be irate, the teachers union, the faculty senate or whatever. They're going to do things that are going to create us problems. So we got to be delicate. We got to be gentle here with the compliance. And should that matter? The law is the law. And so the legislature, I guess, looks at it like, oh, you're sidestepping the law because you don't want to make the sociology department upset with you. You don't want to make the women's study group upset with you. These are things that, like, yes, sure, tuition dollars or federal funding, there's grant money there probably for, but it's still like your state school that's enabled by your tax dollars, it's not even just funding necessarily. It is because you cede this authority to the state government to create these institutions, and they're teaching things that are very antithetical to most of the people who live in this state's values. Well, we were going to stop all that. There were victory laps and people campaigned on it. Look what we did. And lo and behold, it's become like a real issue to get some of this out of government. So, like, you know, this is kind of the moral of the story here. These guys, and this is my gripe, like, okay, do all these things that you tell us are good, and, you know, don't mind what we did with the Veterans Department. Don't mind what we did with the PSC. Don't mind that we raised your gas tax. Don't mind any of that. Just look at what we did that was positive. Or in my capacity as editor at 1819 News, why don't you write more stories about the good things we do? Okay, so we do that. We give you your spotlight, and you guys aren't, the law doesn't really, it's not as effective as it needs to be. And that's the rub here. I know this is not necessarily like relevant to much going on, but it's been coming up, especially as school's gotten back underway. And you look at like what's being taught to these schools and what's being talked about, and these real political battles with inside education. Keep this in mind about education. It's three times the funding as everything else in this state combined. So that's why it matters. I mean, it's just a big behemoth of faculty and administration, staff, just all these things that need to come together to make like your education system work so that you can have young people who could carry the torch into the next, whatever, next generation. And you rely on the legislature to kind of play an oversight role in that. And they pay lip service to it. And sometimes they even pass laws, but it turns out the laws aren't necessarily being lived up to in the spirit. They're just kind of there, and we know what they say. However, we're still working through it. Just give us some more time. And it goes from like, okay, we'll look at it. Well, give us a few months to deal with it. And these things, they don't want to draw attention to them because they'll upset these professors, and you know how their political stripes go. So that came up and just kind of wanted to, I don't know, it was just something I've been thinking about. That when these guys who, and, you know, elections for the most part are done with the Alabama legislature, there may be one or two or three out of 140 that are competitive in the general election. But most of these people who have won these seats, they're there. They're going to win their general election. It's a formality. It's a, you know. And then once the election's called, they there's no waiting till January. They are the new lawmaker for that district. So I think this stuff matters, and you know, we talk a lot about it on this show, but these gestures about culture issues, and we're the conservative body or the conservative champion fighter that you need, and then they pass something that doesn't really perform as expectations as we're talking about. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 is Mobile and Baldwin County's number one creator of live local content.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile.
Listen on air, online, and on demand. FM Talk 106.5.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. A big turnout's expected today at the Mobile Planning Commission meeting over a mobile home parks proposal to more than triple the number of mobile homes allowed. Sea Pines is currently zoned for just over 130 mobile homes, but is asking the city to expand that number to nearly 450. Sea Pines is located near BC Rain High School. Opponents say that many mobile homes would add a strain to the neighborhood. The meeting is set for 2 o'clock tomorrow at Government Plaza. A vehicle crashed into the wall in front of the RSA Tower in Mobile this morning. Mobile police say it hit the wall located on North Water Street sometime before 7:30. There was minor damage to the wall, and the driver has minor injuries. The Dauphin Island Sea Lab says a manatee found dead over the weekend in Orange Beach died after being hit by a boat. An Orange Beach resident reported they saw the dead animal on Sunday on the southern shore of Wolf Bay. A member of the Sea Lab said the injuries were consistent with being hit by a boat propeller. Devin Walsh, News 5.
Starting your new roof contractor search? Make sure you're not only getting great-looking shingles, but a well-built roof that can stand up to Alabama's toughest storms. You want a fortified roof with quality Atlas shingles from Ben Murphy Roofing. Fortifying roofs on the Gulf Coast since 2004. Ben Murphy Roofing.
At Alta Point, we're committed to supporting veterans through every chapter of their mental health journey.
Recovery begins with the right support. AltaPoint offers evidence-based substance use treatment, outpatient programs, medically managed withdrawal services, and connections to additional care when needed to help veterans move forward.
Visit altapoint.org to learn how we can help or call 251-450-2211. AltaPoint, caring is our calling.
Dan Brennan here, inviting you to join the community at Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill. You'll find everything you need to live the convenient and carefree lifestyle you deserve. If you're looking for your next home in Mobile, hey, I found it at Legacy Oaks. It's a charming community of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments located in the heart of the city just off Dauphin and I-65. Inside the spacious floor plans, you'll discover cozy interiors complete with gas range, a gas fireplace, and each unit comes with an attached garage. Outside your apartment, you'll love the amenities like pool and a clubhouse that includes a conference room and workout center. These provide the perfect opportunity to relax and enjoy the company of neighbors. As a resident of Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill, you'll also enjoy easy access to the area's most popular shopping, dining, and entertainment destinations, and still minutes from downtown. Reach out today for more information. Call 251-344-8099 and find out more at LegacyOaksAtSpringHill.com.
Bring the family to experience the ultimate adrenaline rush with 3 nights of live rodeo action featuring professional bull riders from across the country. Bulls on the Beach will begin at 6 p.m. September 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Floribama, 17401 Perdido Key Drive, Perdido Key, Florida. A portion of proceeds go to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Visit floribama.com/bullsonthebeach.
Hello again, friends. I'm Randy Bergen, inviting you to join me, Coach Rick Cleveland, and Coach Mark Lassiter for the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. We'll be coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios for 2 hours beginning at 8 a.m. every Saturday morning. We'll visit with coaches, athletes, administrators, and more as we'll keep you up to date on all things prep along the Gulf Coast and the state of Alabama. Wake up with the Prep Sports Report team this Saturday morning starting at 8 a.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
Sports Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Hit us up on that text line. That's how to do so, and we'll respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. Alabama Daily News is Todd Stacey up in the next segment, so stick around for that. Mike, you were right on flock cameras, especially after Tubbs' statement. And that's why anytime the Republican legislature goes to Hill tells you they're going to do something to promote conservatism or personal freedom, laugh in their face, because it's not raining on you, it's them being on the electorate. Yeah, I think they enter these sessions, and we're a long way from the legislative session. But they go into these sessions with their real priorities and then their stated goals, right? Okay, we got to get this done. And they're very strategic about it. Don't for a moment. I don't believe that somebody just woke up in the middle of the 2026 legislative session and decided, hey, we need to fix the PSC. So we didn't talk about it at all in the lead up to this year's legislative session. They didn't. That's the truth. And they looked at it and said, well, you know, this is going to cause a lot of heartburn. People are already upset because, yes, Alabama power is high relative to the rest of the country, especially in the South where the cost of living is supposed to be that much lower. And they've done a good job protecting their turf. So they said, well, we can't really float this idea a month before the session starts. It'll build up enough grassroots support. There'll be a groundswell. It'll stop it. And probably like four or five members kind of sit around in a back room somewhere. They talk about, well, what's the best way to roll this out? Well, maybe if we get Tommy Tuberville to come join us on board, or, you know, let's, and this sort of comes out of nowhere. Well, most people aren't paying attention to the Alabama legislature, but man, we got these elections coming up and they're going to elect these new PSC members, and we might get Jim Ziegler and Matt Gentry, and they're not going to go along with the program here. Not the way Chris Beaker and Jeremy Oden did. And we were lucky to get Cynthia Allman in there. But they're not going to go along with the program here. They're going to grandstand, and they're going to do a lot of things that are very political. They're ambitious. We got to figure something out here, because our guys aren't going to win. We're just not going to spend the amount of money and do the arm twisting it takes to. We're tapped out. All right. Well, let's think of something here. And I honestly believe this. I know how this works. Well, we can't just start talking about it early on, and then they wait till the election stuff sort of cools down. And then they look at who qualifies for these offices. And they don't have to worry about someone running that would be really upset about this. And then next thing you know, here's a bill. Who will get to carry it? It's another story in itself. And they get it done. Yeah, sure. They had to face some heartburn and some friction, but that only lasted a few weeks. Meantime, we're working to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to close primaries or whatever, you know. So, Rick writes, Jimmy Buffett would be great. I mean, we already have a celebrity bridge, an iPod bridge, the only woman who came from the hills and brought them with her. But y'all know that's not really the name of the Dolly Parton Bridge, right? That's not really what it is. The W.K. Wilson Jr. Bridge. The Dolly Parton Bridge is just a nicknamed. It caught on locally. 251-343-0106. And it's something to do with honoring Dolly Parton. It's just the shape of it. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hill raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Well, that's our news. Armit Thomason in Washington. Investigators say the woman arrested in an alleged ISIS-inspired terror plot in New York bought bomb-making materials and planned to attack the state capitol at Albany. The suspect, 35-year-old Jessica Bowie of Albany, allegedly visited the Capitol complex multiple times, scoping out the place and taking photos. She had allegedly planned to conceal a bomb in a DoorDash bag delivered to the Capitol. Last night, it was the Northeast's turn to take a beating at the hands of powerful storms, a suspected tornado touching down on Long Island, New York, and in Dover, Delaware as well, flooding in New Jersey, stranding dozens of motorists in their cars. No survivors reported in the crash of a charter flight in western Alaska. The plane crashed about 450 miles west of Anchorage. The NTSB is investigating. Stocks are higher on Wall Street, and this is SRN News.
With the high price of new and used cars today, many drivers are choosing to keep their vehicles a lot longer. But with the average car now over 12 years old, most manufacturers' warranties have expired. I'm Danica Patrick. If your car is out of warranty, a single trip to the mechanic could cost you thousands. That's why smart drivers choose Endurance. If your vehicle is less than 20 years old, no matter the mileage, Endurance could have your car covered for the drivetrain, electrical, AC, transmission, and more. And Endurance is with you every step of the way, from filing a claim to paying the mechanic of your choice directly. And your rate won't go up no matter how many claims you file. Call Endurance now and choose the plan that fits your budget. Act now and get 1 year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
For your fast free quote, call 800-303-4223. 800-303-4223. 800-303-4223.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts and exclusions and endurance warranty.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm and highs in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
Everybody's asking AI these days, but around here, you ask ChatGPT.
Hey, ChatGPT, why did my chickens stop laying eggs?
Your chickens might be getting lazy on you if you're feeding them too much. Come in and we'll talk about your flock.
G&D Farms knows feed for chickens, deer, cows, horses, and more. Take the short trip to G&D Farms in Tanner Williams, Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 5, and Saturday, 7 to noon.
Don't just buy it. Know how to use it.
G&D Farms.
I'm Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
The UMS Wright Bulldogs have a new home. FM Talk 1065. Tonight, the Bulldogs take on the Patriots of Jackson Prep at Gooch Stadium. Pre-game with Kevin Raley and Michael Knapp begins at 6:30. Listen live on FM Talk 1065 or anywhere with the FM Talk 1065 app. Tonight, UMS Wright Bulldog football is on FM Talk 1065.
Coming to you live like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. It's open to everybody out in radio land. Find the love just as true as mine. Good night.
Welcome back to the Jump Horse Show at FM Talk 1065. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. Text line to get engaged with the show, 251-343-0106. 1-800-324-0606. Still to come on the program, we got Philip Ensler. He's the Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor, about an hour. State Senator Chris Elliott at 11 o'clock hour, and then we'll wrap it all up with Tommy Tuberville, our senior U.S. Senator and Republican gubernatorial nominee, so you want to stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he is the host of Capital Journal. You can watch it on Alabama Public Television on Friday evenings, as I often do, and he is a publisher at Alabama Daily News. Todd Stacey is with us. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Hey, before we get into the current affairs business, how you feel about football season?
Well, look, obviously, I'm an Auburn man. Expectations are low, but that's where they should be, and nowhere to go but up. Look, I got a really cool vibe the other day. It was posted on social media where I guess the coach brought in the band, and you played in the Auburn University marching band.
I did.
I mean, when has that ever happened? With you know, the coach brings in the band to make sure that all the players learn the fight song and know the fight song, because, you know, think about the portal and all these, you know, a lot of new players. Why would they know the fight song?
Right.
That kind of thing. And man, that was a cool video, and they were getting into it and learning the fight song and really getting into it. I don't know. That gave me all the feels and I guess appropriately hyped me up for football season. I thought that was a good move by Golich to like.
I did too. You know. Yeah. And it was said to me and started thinking about it. When I was in the marching band in the '90s, we had Terry Bowden come and talk to us, you know, at band camp for like 15 minutes. But there's something to be said about like the modern state of college football right now, because they are kind of mercenaries. And,
yeah,
you know, there's no like fidelity necessarily. I mean, it's not always true across the board, but, you know, a lot of times these guys, they come and they're playing here and they don't really establish that connection with who they're playing for. And I think that's like really important to Auburn folks or Alabama folks or whatever, that you do have that connection and you do like understand the Iron Bowl rivalry. You do understand like how important it is. Why are these people all here? You know, and it's a little different in that sense. I mean, I guess in professional sports, it's more of an allegiance to the city you live in and civic pride. But, you know, sometimes that's a hard concept to grasp for 20-year-olds, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, look, I'm the guy, and there's so many people that go to the stadium, you know, week in and week out, that know every word of that fight song, and it means something to them. And it's about the football team, and they ought to know it too. And I thought it was just a good move by the coach to say, yeah, let's incorporate this. Let's make sure that they know what's going on. And so that gave me all the hype I needed.
There's this like fascinating thing, and this is, I know it's delving into the sports ball realm, but like Bo Jackson or Cam Newton and these guys, Charles Barkley, like those are like three big names in Auburn lore, and they have Frank Thomas even, they still come back, right? They weren't just like, they didn't, you know, we don't have this weird situation like they have at LSU with the number five, that they, you know, there was a biography written on Bo Jackson like 2 or 3 years ago, and he doesn't really like connect to the Kansas City Royals or the Los Angeles or whatever, you know, they're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders or, you know, his connection is to Auburn. He comes to Auburn games. He still talks about Auburn. He created that affiliation. His daughter, you know, and there's a connection there. And you know, same with Cam Newton showing up on campus, and the same with, you know, Cam Newton was on the sidelines last year during the Georgia game, and you saw how animated he was. Like they're still invested, at least emotionally, in the institution. And I think that like there's a real threat here with this like transfer portal and players going from one school to the next year after year after year of really kind of losing that over time.
I agree, and I think it's going to come back. I really do. I think we're in this weird like season of college athletics. I think it's going to come back because, just as you said, all those players think back to their time at Auburn. just as I do, just as you do. Everybody thinks back to their time in college of because that's where you really grew up. You know, that's where you kind of became who you were going to be. Same for athletes, same for everybody else. So there's something special about that that you don't get from the pros. I don't think back to my first job the same way I think about college. I think it's the same for them. And I do think it's going to come back because there's something special about college athletics. We're going to figure it out in Congress. I think they'll get to somewhere, maybe next year. I don't know. But I think that magic is going to survive. I really do. And I'm optimistic about that.
Yeah, and I think, as you mentioned, the band coming to play for the players, and at least you're trying to establish that, right? That is
absolutely.
Like, and there's something we said, like, you know, just like this is what these people really care about. It's more of the idea. It's not just that did I make the block? Did I complete the pass? Did we, you know, connect on the field goal or whatever? That it is a little bit deeper. I think that's true in college athletics across the board.
Yeah, and look, you know, Hugh Freeze is no longer there, but I remember a speech that he gave talking about, you know, there's a family that drove 150 miles and paid a lot of money, saved up all year, and they're sitting at the top of that stadium just to see you play, and you owe them something. And I think there's something to that, you know, talking to the players. And, you know, he's no longer there, but that was a good speech. I mean, that kind of put it in perspective. And I think that magic is going to continue. I'm optimistic about that, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think that goes away, no matter what happens. And this that's the dirty little secret. I mean, that's why these programs have these people who are willing to give copious amounts of money to college athletics. They have that connection, but you know that's this is something that, you know, Coach Tuberville talks about all the time. There's so much money in it, you got to rein it in somehow, or you're going to have these disparities, and you really do threaten that, I guess.
Oh yeah, look, we can have Texas and Ohio State just win every year if we wanted to. You know, they got the money, but yeah. So I'm interested in his thoughts on it, but he's leaving the Senate. So, you know, that's Congress really does need to do something about that, but I hope they'll listen to him. You know, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to all that, because, you know, it's the Ted Cruz and it's the Cruz and Cantwell bill. And I still can't understand why Ted Cruz is sponsoring something that even the University of Texas doesn't want. Or even A&M, but they'll get to something. They'll get somewhere. I really do think they will.
Yeah, maybe the political pressure isn't quite there yet, but
I think he's running for president. So
yeah, but I think though, like people will, it's going to take something to really further the crack in the dam, and then Congress will react in some way. But
all it'll take is Indiana winning one more time.
Yeah, and you know, but a lot of that, you know, even like a lot of those players kind of hopped around in their final landing spot at age 26 or whatever was Indiana of all places. So I guess there's some like, you know, weird sort of phenomenon there that they could put like a basketball school like Indiana in a national championship position. But I think that's probably more of an exception than the norm.
Well, it's yeah, and they did. They went out and bought it, and with a lot older players, like you just said. So yeah, all it'll take is that happening a couple more times, and you know, Congress will be forced to act.
Todd, we got a new state house coming online. I see yeah. They're still doing some things at the old state house, maybe like sunset or contract review. But when does the like? When does the old go away and the new come along, you think?
Well, I went in the new building, I guess that was Monday. And, yeah, I mean, it's still a construction site. Now, it looks terrific. The new chambers look really nice. But there's still a long way to go and bring this building up. So I would say November, December, maybe. That's a pretty optimistic timeline. It's got to be done by January. That's when the organizational session will happen. The actual legislative session doesn't start until February 3rd, but it's got to be done. Probably by December. So yeah, like there's still meetings going on in the old state house because they have to meet somewhere, and that's what the only place they have to meet. But you can, if you go in the building, in the old building, you can see, some of the walls kind of starting to be stripped and the marble coming down. They're getting ready to demolish the thing. We moved out a couple of months ago just because the mold was so bad in the basement after the flood.
Yeah, and that was a tornado day, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a crazy day because, it was during the special session on redistricting. Tornado warning. So everybody comes to the basement where we are, to our studio. Tornado goes away, but then the flood comes. So everybody wants to go upstairs, but we don't have anywhere to go. And, it flooded, and, the mold smell is just awful. So we had to move out. It's just a health problem at this point.
What are you doing in the meantime?
So we're at the old studio. Alabama Public Television has the old studio by Patterson Field in Montgomery, which is great. It hasn't been used in years, but we're using it, and it works out fine. Except this week, because some copper thieves stole our air conditioning coils, so it's pretty hot. So it's biblical at this point.
Hey, that's interesting. I'll just talk about Montgomery and crime and getting that kind of rectified. You've been there a long time, and you lived in Prattville, which is not that far from Montgomery. What's it like there? It seemed pretty hairy there earlier this year and last year. Any improvement?
I think yes, there's been improvement in terms of just the crime in general in the capital city. Yeah, I mean, there's been improvement. There was a pretty bad stretch there, I would say, kind of COVID forward, and I think Montgomery's not alone. I think a lot of cities had that. I think Montgomery probably didn't respond quite as quickly as it should have to all this. Now, one great thing that happened is because it's the capital city, the state troopers stepped in, right? The MACS, the Metropolitan Area Crime Suppression Unit, came in. That was a partnership between the state and the city. So basically you get state troopers filling in where, because there's a shortage of cops, and that's really helped. And I think that's something that they want to replicate in other cities across the state, which would be good. But you look at a place like Birmingham, which has really doubled down on recruiting cops, getting their police force back up, getting crime under control. Randall Woodson deserves a lot of credit. He's gotten a lot of credit for doing that. We're not quite on that level yet, but credit where it's due to Randall Woodson, understanding that Birmingham was in a very bad place, and I think it's gotten a lot better. He figured it out. Hopefully we can too.
One more thing here, and I am surprised. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but like the topic du jour right now is flock cameras. It went from somewhere along the way from data centers, which are still, you hear a lot in the news, to these flock cameras. And looking into this last night, and I guess 2021, writing for y'all, Mary Sell wrote about Arthur Orr in 2021, saw this coming and wanted to get a bill through. It got through the Senate. It looked like pretty easily just kind of died in the House, as sometimes things do. But, these issues come up in they really catch on. And I don't know how much of, you know, what we see online, Todd, like Facebook or whatever, is real life. I have my suspicions that it's not as big as some people think it is. But, like, these things do, like, for, you know, for better or for worse, do kind of commandeer the attention of the lawmakers. I think, you know, we're going to see this address sort of like data centers or this last session.
Yeah, perhaps. And, I mean, the last session, I had no idea that data centers and that issue was going to be the top issue of the session. I mean, we had our whole legislative issues breakfast. It didn't even come up until, you know, a couple months later. And then that dominated. So yeah, maybe it will. And I don't know a whole lot about the flock camera issue. I mean, I just know in general, Americans don't like to be surveilled. We don't, you know, we're not Europeans. We don't expect to be surveilled by CCTV every waking moment. And so that's just a, you know, an American thing. So I don't really understand the issue very well or what's going on, but yeah, I mean, if it's out there, expect it to be addressed. And, because, you know, the lawmakers will respond to their constituents. Now, is it a huge issue? I mean, it's kind of like data centers. I mean, it's a big issue and it's obviously, you know, important, but there is a lot of hysteria out there about data centers, you know, as if it's just the devil, which is why I appreciated Senator Britt kind of like putting it out there like, hey guys, you don't have to love them or hate them. It's just a reality and there's a middle way. I appreciated her saying that, but you know, lawmakers are going to respond to their constituents, you know, and especially, you know, coming off an election.
Todd, we got to get out of here. Folks want to know what you got coming up on Capital Journal or how to check out Alabama Daily News. Tell them how to do so.
Absolutely. Capital Journal is tonight, 7:30, Alabama Public Television. Got a good show for you. And yes, as always, you can read the daily news. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and email, and you'll be on the list for that newsletter.
Todd, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Jeff, thanks.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
This WKRG News 5 update is brought to you by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. You can buy a safe anywhere, but you can't get this kind of service anywhere. Buy from the folks you trust. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, 471-1137.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. The Mobile Planning Commission rejects an effort to expand a mobile home park near BC Rain High School. The owners of Sea Pines Trailer Park, currently zoned for 133 mobile homes, asked city leaders to expand that to 447, but after hearing from Sea Pines representatives and those opposed to the plan, commissioners rejected it by a unanimous vote. Termite damage at one of the oldest schools in Mobile. County officials are calling for emergency repairs at the historic Murphy High School after termite damage was found in the school's library and computer lab. We are told both are off limits until repairs are made and that the board is currently accepting construction bids. The First Alert Storm Team is heading to the Greers on McMeans Avenue in Baymanette next Wednesday. It's the final stop of this year's Weather Radio programming tour. They'll be there from 3 to 7, and the first 50 people in line will receive free batteries. For WKRG News 5, I'm Shimani Baker.
For more than 50 years, Mobile Bay Magazine has showcased the history, style, arts, dining, and entertainment that defines excellence on both sides of Mobile Bay. Each month's issue is filled with our unique Southern Alabama culture, beautifully captured and told through engaging articles and stunning photography. When you subscribe to Mobile Bay Magazine, you'll be swept into the pages where recipes, familiar places and faces, and untold stories abound. Start your journey today by visiting MobileBayMag.com. That's MobileBayMag.com.
It didn't matter to her that Southern Cancer Center is the area's only community-based cancer care team with specialists under one roof. Until it did. Southern Cancer Center. How we treat you matters most.
When you're finally off the clock after a long day, dishes put away, kids asleep, feet kicked up, heartburn. Don't let heartburn take over your hard-earned moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Alka-Seltzer Effervescent tablets begin neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so you can get back to your one more episode marathon. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Use as directed.
Ice Cube's Big 3 season has come down to this. The Big 3 Championship is coming to Charlotte. Who will be crowned the Big 3 Season 9 Champion? Plus the Big 3 All-Star Game. The biggest names in the game, all on one court, one more time. Two games of the most physical, competitive, and non-stop 3-on-3 action. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET.
Yay!
I'm Jeff Davis with Just a Thought.
From the world hindquarters of dubious information, it's Fake News Friday. A Florida man allegedly tried paying for groceries with a homemade $100 bill. It featured Benjamin Franklin wearing sunglasses. In Pennsylvania, a man the police say impersonating a utility worker knocked on doors claiming he needed to inspect residents' refrigerators for excessive electricity. His uniform consisted of a reflective vest and a handwritten badge reading, Power Guy. Customs officers have seen counterfeit luxury merchandise before, but one shipment of imitation designer handbags. Apparently, Gucci with three C's is the preferred label for shoppers with more C's than cents. Then there are fake parking attendants. In several cities, scammers have been known to put on vests, wave drivers into legitimate parking lots, collect cash, and disappear. Nothing says entrepreneurship like selling somebody else's parking spaces. Counterfeit concert tickets remain a thriving business. One buyer discovered his VIP backstage pass was actually a laminated copy of someone else's ticket. Just a thought. I'm Jeff Davis.
I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. Text line, I'm going to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Let's get some text here. Mike, why will Alabama Power not buy power away from someone's home solar, but yet transport somebody's solar all over the state? And Alabama Power will charge you if you put it back onto the grid, which is that's unlike anywhere else, I understand. That some places that do generate their own electricity through solar will get a refund. And, you know, obviously they're not going to make bank off of it. And it does seem, it's almost like they want you to be reliant on their source of their means of electricity. I think these are like the kind of questions that need to be brought up, but like there's always like kind of disguise and this happy talk about what they're giving refunds and rate freezes. Well, why is electricity so cost prohibitive in Alabama? Now, look, in some of these states where it is regulated to the T and they do really, really turn the screws on these utility companies, they have brownouts. They have shortages when there's really, really cold weather. And, you know, Texas, Tennessee come to mind. And the other thing is just the threat of inclement weather in this state. So, there's a lot of questions they should answer here. And I just think that they're horrible at the public relations game at this stage. They try to gimmick it up with Donald Trump or whatever. And that's not what people want to hear. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Law 251 with Tobias and Comer Law's Lacey Smith talking summer swim safety.
Growing up on the water like we do here in Mobile, sometimes we can get a little comfortable or take things for granted, but drownings are the leading cause of death for children ages 1 through 4. Over 80% of those drownings happen while an adult is present. I think there's more awareness of what drowning actually looks like now, but watching movies, you're used to a bunch of splashing and drama and noise. Drowning is really not like that usually. It's quiet. It's often quicker than we think. And tragically, it causes about 4,000 deaths per year among all age groups. Some of the basic water survival skills that you certainly want to have for your children, if they're going to be in the water for any length of time, floating on their back when they get tired, or being able to effectively tread water and keep their head up above the surface, is a critical life-saving skill in the pool. We are a local firm with four